Save money and energy like a boss. Find ideas and incentives for your facility from the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program at ComEd.com/likeaboss.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
So much going on around baseball. John Lester wanted to be a Cub, wanted to retire a Cub, made it clear to the Cubs. Just, it's not going to cost you guys stupid money. Just, I want to retire a Cub. You owed him that. You did. And the people that are tweeting, could Lester beat out Alec Mills or Davies? It doesn't matter. You preached culture. He built your culture and helped you be part of a champion. You owed him that.
It's just 1 year. We understand that John Lester was never going to be able to be the number two guy in the rotation or as good or better than Hendricks. That's not the point. Point is that the guy wanted to be a Cub.
Correct.
It doesn't hurt for him to be with the ball club for another year. You're not going to break the bank on him. He knew that too.
We can't make any offers till we move money. Oh, Washington made an offer. Let me make an offer. I thought you couldn't make any offers. Stick it. Jesse Rogers joins us now. We got a lot to unpack with Jesse. Number one is John Lester. Jesse, how could they FUBAR this? I mean, it's just embarrassing.
It is. And this is the thing I've been saying all along since the beginning of the offseason. If they could not re-sign John Lester for the low, low price that he was willing to come back for, that was the final indication that this team is in a disarray of their own making from the financial standpoint. And, look, if you want to rebuild, then I think you need to come out and say it. That we are dumping salary and we are redoing this like they did back in 2011, 12, 13, whenever it was that they came out, we're all transparent about it. And here's my question to you guys about that. And I asked this to Jed on a recent Zoom. Like, do you feel like they've hoodwinked people? This whole thread the needle thing? No, you're not threading the needle. You are not going to be good. You are not going to spend for a couple years. I feel like Jed, especially, should have been a little bit more transparent in the last 3, 4, 5 months.
Jesse, what else are you finding out regarding how some of Lester's ex-teammates feel about this? Have you heard some stuff off the record about Lester's departing?
Just a couple. I mean, of course they're going to miss him, and they can't believe they can't pay him. That's the bottom line. And they're worried about their own contracts. You can guess who those people are, you know, who need to get paid in the next 12 months. I mean, we can't come up with $3 million, $5 million. I mean, let me tell you something. Lester reached out to ownership several times himself.
That's correct.
He offered deferred money. Deferred money from $3, $5 million? I mean, he's not making anything anyway, and you're still offering to defer it? Look, I've mentioned this several times. CC Sabathia was the example I've used on the air with you guys several times. The Yankees had a long-term deal with him, then re-signed him for 1 year, re-signed him for another year. And in the middle of that, CC Sabathia went to rehab on like the eve of the playoffs. The Yankees stood by him. I mean, you know, and that, I'm not making fun of that at all. I'm just saying that there were ups and downs with CC Sabathia, and they still re-signed him to 2 1-year deals. There is no reason other than sort of the cheapness factor. And this isn't really on Jed. This is on ownership. Not willing to let him spend a little bit here, a little bit there. So this whole idea of thread the needle, no. You're not threading any needle. You are going through the pandemic season, a second one here, and then maybe a lockout or strike, and you are not contending for the World Series. They're going to try to restart things in 2 years, in my opinion.
So why then not call John Lester and say, like in October, hey, man, look, we wish you well. We're going in a different direction. You are one of the great Cubs we've ever had. You're arguably, along with Marian Hossa, the two best free agent signings in the history of Chicago sports. We do not want to offend you by making some stupidly cheap offer. You know what? go win another ring, my man. We're going to go in a different direction. We're going to play Alzolay and Braylon Marquez and Jesse Rogers and Gordon Whittemeyer are going to pitch for us, whoever it is.
Yeah, I think they certainly didn't make him any promises. I mean, I think he knew what he was up against. But I think you're right about what you said earlier. I think in a perfect world, in their mind, they would have moved enough money that they could have brought him back for $3 or $4 million. Basically, they needed to move another contract in order to sign him for that small amount. For that small amount, Jed's hands are tied. He needed to move another contract. And it just didn't happen in time. And now, you know, January's getting into, you know, closer to February, and Lester wants a job. So Jed could have told him, hey, you want to wait till spring training? Maybe we'll move Wilson Contreras and we'll have $6 million for you. But at that point, you know, Lester can't wait that long. So there's your answer. They made no promises, but they said, hey, if we move enough money. And I asked somebody, you know, in the know, you know, wasn't Darvish enough money? And the answer was no. The answer was no. They needed to move even more.
So we go right back to the Chris Bryant question. Do you expect Chris Bryant to be with the Cubs in 2021?
I expect him to start the season. What was my prediction to you guys? Remember that one?
That they'll trade him in season.
Well, what I said was it's more likely Bryant would start the season on the roster than Darvish, and that turned out to be true, and I think it's still going to be true. They're just in a bind with Chris Bryant. I mean, the best-case scenario, some great first half, and they get a little bit better of a prospect on July 31st, or two prospects if it's just amazing. But remember, 2 months of a hitter doesn't get you what you think it should get you. It just doesn't. 2 months of a closer can. We saw what happened with Aroldis Chapman, other closers at the deadline. But 2 months of a hitter, it can get you something. I'm not saying nothing, but they really need him to have a big first half. So, yes, I think he starts the season. No one's taking that $19 million right now. If they traded him now, it'd be for a B or C prospect, and the Cubs would have to pick up some of the money, and they're not going to do that. I think that'd be too embarrassing for them to pick up half the money and get some crappy prospects. So they're hoping for a big first half, and then obviously another team only has to pay a few million and maybe give them a better prospect.
Cap, you're not going to be any good until you can replenish this farm system.
Correct.
Because right now you're looking – if say, for instance, there's a trade for Contreras – and, you know, Hayward's going to be around. But ultimately, the future of this ball club is Baez and company, right? I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, it really is. I still think Baez and Rizzo will be here 12 months from now. But I'm not positive about that. I'm not positive. But I still think they're – now, if someone blew them away for Baez, and I just don't think it's going to happen. There's a lot of shortstops out there, and you'd have to give up five – I think they would take – like they said, we will listen on everybody, and they prove that by trading Darvish. But I do believe – Baez and Rizzo will be here for the next little run, more Baez than Rizzo, you know, in terms of age. But I think that's the case. But anything is possible with this team right now.
We're talking to Jesse Rogers here on Cap J Hood on ESPN 1000. We're here weekday morning 7 until 10. And download our podcast. Go right to that ESPN Chicago app and tell your friends. We'll always have some fun entertaining you. Jesse, I disagree with you that they had to wait on John Lester. I just think they did a piss poor job of dealing with a guy who they said, come here, trust us, we need to make sure we get our culture right. This guy was all about culture. So it's not what John would have been, win above replacement this year. It was, we got a bunch of young pitchers that we need to train properly. Guess what? There's the ultimate professional right there. It was disrespectful how he was treated.
Well, you're right about the culture and the leadership. I mean, Kyle Hendricks is going to lead these young guys. I mean, that's not Hendricks, you know, sort of style. I mean, who's going to keep an eye on Wilson Contreras, who can sort of flare up at times? Now, they have a good leader in Ross, but yeah, Lester's going to be missed for that. And by the way, I studied this and I dove into this. Lester fixed himself. Now, I'm not saying he's a perfect pitcher, but he's not necessarily washed up. He had the bad run. But I documented it. He fixed 2 to 3 mechanical things. And remember, he came out against Milwaukee, 6 shutout innings, 5 more against Cleveland, good, 6 more shutout against Pittsburgh. And then the last game, he blew up a little against Cleveland, never got to pitch in the playoffs, against the White Sox, sorry, never got to pitch in the playoffs. But he's not done if he can continue on this little, you know, understanding where he is in his body at this stage of his career. So I'm not saying you're winning a World Series with him as a number one, but he certainly can be at the back end of a contending team, which is what he's doing in Washington right now.
Jesse, you've got the column up on ESPN.com, a couple of news and notes, including NLDH or no NLDH. And I think that the way God wanted it, he wanted a universal DH. Hopefully we'll get it.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen. It's so strange that everyone's acting like it's not, but quietly they think it is. Now, it's agents are ticked off. I mean, here's the point. They think it's going to happen like March 28th, you know, or March 15th or something really late when teams are already figured out, rosters are constructed. The point is this, by waiting, owners can shrink the market a little bit. Like, you know, there's 15 more jobs for DHs. Well, if they're not there, you know, we don't have to pay you for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, so there's a lot of back and forth going on. And it's unfortunate because teams should know, executives want to know, players want to know, but owners, they're fine with dragging their feet. So I do believe it's going to happen. And, you know, I don't know if that's good or bad for the Cubs. A few years ago, it was good. They don't have a deep team anymore. So adding the DH might be bad for them. They probably need all the pitchers to hit.
You know what? You know, Cap, we don't have the quality guys off the bench anymore because baseball's changed. If we turn the clock back about 15 years, it'd be some veteran there smoking.
Rusty Staub.
Drinking. And you just wake him up in the seventh and give you that key base hit. We don't get that anymore.
We don't.
You know, your roster's too young.
Hey,
we had LaStella, but, you know.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, LaStella.
Yeah.
Here, roll over and ask him his thoughts on it. Jesse, before we get out of here,
yeah.
Jared Porter was fired this morning for sexually harassing a foreign reporter, believed to be from Japan, that he was doing this while he was working for the Cubs.
Yeah, I'm well aware of this. And I'd be honest, I heard about this back in 2017. It says in the story that ESPN had information about this. I'm going to be honest. We didn't have it completely locked down, and that's something you have to lock down. The woman, as I think it said is in the story, didn't want to really give details. It was just rumors and innuendo. I came like 5 minutes away from calling Theo or Jed and bringing it up. Now, he'd already moved on to the Diamondbacks, but I wasn't ready to go to them with it. It was a former employee. I am very confident saying I don't believe Jed or Theo knew anything about it. I just don't believe it. As you can see in the story, that the employee that was, you know, a low-level employee did not take it up the flagpole. It's terrible what he did. There's some mixed emotions because obviously, if you know him personally like I do, he was a decent guy. But then when I heard about this, obviously, I'm like, wait, boy, that's weird. You know, that's awful, especially for the victim. So it's terrible. I didn't know where it would go back in 2017. Nothing, you know, she didn't want to talk about it. Obviously, didn't talk about it until recently. Jeff Passan and I talked about it at the World Series when Porter was being interviewed for GM jobs. We thought, okay, maybe this might pop up now. You know, this storyline might happen now. And once he got hired in a position of power, this woman decided to come forward, and now he loses his job. So it's just a sad, sad thing and a lesson again to everybody. You know, be respectful. And a guy that was a good baseball guy loses his job and possibly his career. And this victim has been, you know, feeling it for years now. You know, she talked about it in that column, and great job by Jeff and Mina. But it's just terrible. But I don't believe the Cubs knew anything. I don't believe at the high levels they knew anything.
We will find out. I'm sure they're going to do a deep investigation of this whole thing, but it's awful, and he does not belong in Major League Baseball, and Steve Cohen moved quickly to fire him. Hey, Jesse, thanks for the knowledge, kid.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Have a good day.
See you soon.
There he is, Jesse Rogers. All right, are you frustrated the Cubs are letting John Lester leave? 312-332-3776, and we'll play You Make the Call. Danny overslept the show today. We'll get into all of it. And the Tiger Doc. We got lots. Be right back.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood
on ESPN 1000
and the ESPN Chicago app.
So, Johnny Lester is now a National. And again, let's be clear. He was not going to be their number one starter.
No.
Wasn't going to be their number two starter. When a legendary player who you have anointed as one of the keys to your improved culture says, hey, I'll work it out with you. He calls management himself, not his agent, him. Can we get this done, please? Not looking to break the bank. We'll take less than the Nationals are offering. And you disrespect him in that way? What message does that send to other players around the game? Don't believe all that nonsense about you're part of the family here. No, you're not. You're an asset, and we don't need you anymore. We don't have any money, and we're going through crazy losses. See you later.
Now, I'm sure someone listening to us on the surface will say, oh, Cap, I mean, you know, it's just business. We understand that sports is a business, but we're just telling the story of a guy that initially didn't have to come here. The Cubs were losing at the beginning of Theo's tenure, but when I saw Theo come through the door, as I told you as a White Sox fan, I said, yeah, watching the Red Sox as a White Sox fan in the American League, I go, yeah, the mood's about to change around here. Now here comes the mood's going to change, and now business is picked up for the Cubs, for sure, right?
Right.
And so the linchpin for all of this is John Lester.
Mm-hmm.
Theo, yes, but as far as players on the field, John could have said, no, you guys aren't winning. Why do you want me? But the conversation was had, and John Lester was the beginning of this. So if John Lester says initially, I want to come here, why can't he just finish it out? He's not hurting the ball club by being the fourth starter, maybe on this team.
Correct.
Third starter, maybe on this team. However Ross wants to line it up. Point is, though, is that he wasn't going to break the bank. That's the whole thing.
Correct.
I know it comes down to money. I get that.
Correct.
It wasn't like he was asking for $20 million for his last year, right? That's all. Yeah. And so, to me, Cap, I'm just telling you, when Theo walked out the door, the culture walked out the door. I'm just telling you.
So he says to them, I'll defer money. I'm not worried about what the number is. Just be fair with me. Well, he got five from Washington with his bonuses and all that.
Yep.
He would have taken three to stay here.
Just for comfort.
How the H do you screw this up? Hey, you're family, man. You're John Lester. You're part of building our culture. Now we're good. You're up.
Now, here's the thing, Danny. A sound organization finds a way to be able to have that money ready to go just in case there's another offer. That's just business, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll take care of John. John will be there. Don't worry. We'll take care of John. No, there's another team across the street that wants you. Oh, wait. Someone else wants you? Well, it's too late now.
Correct.
That's just bad business.
Bad.
I feel like I'm doing the show in 1992 with you.
Correct.
That's how the Cubs used to do business.
Correct. This is just sad to see where this thing has gone. If I had told you November 2nd, 2016, we're all bleary-eyed, the Cubs just won the World Series, we're like, oh my goodness. And if I said to you just over four years later, there's going to be no Madden, there's going to be no Schwarber, no Lester, no Russell for whatever reasons. All these different things are going to happen. Oh, and Theo's going to walk out the door and leave $10 million on the table. You'd have been like, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
And they're never getting back to the mountaintop.
Yep. Well, as I said, things will change. And by the way, when I say that, Cap, I'm not taking a shot at Jed Hoyer. What I'm saying is that Theo Epstein's proven several franchises now in the Major League Baseball front office. The guy is smart. The guy knows how to be able to say, okay, how much money can I spend? Let me allocate this money the right ways to put a good product on the field. That's all. Well, this is not us crying in our beer saying, remember the good times for John Lester? That's a shame. We're just saying that on this one deal, put the world championship to the side. This one deal, a guy that wants to be here for less, and you can't find a way to pay him because all I continue to hear all winter during the hot stove is, we don't have any money. We don't have the money. We have to get rid of our assets. Well, that's not the Cubs I know under Ricketts. Things have changed.
Things have changed. And someone over there called me and said, but they gave him $10 million already in his buyout. Yeah, that was his contract. You don't get a pat on the back because you paid his contract. You owed him that money anyway. And anyone over there that wants to dispute this with me, you guys foobarred this. It's on you. This isn't on John. He picked up the phone and said, I want to retire a Cub. Let's just get this done. You want me to defer some money? I don't care. I've made a fortune. I'm good.
Well, Cap, we also have to realize this, too, is that the Cubs are in transition. This may not be the only move here in the hot stove that the Cubs are going to do. And they're breaking it up.
Yep.
They feel because of a money situation and because, hey, rightfully so, this team can't hit. Team can't hit. How long do you have to wait for the Cubs to come through on a consistent basis offensively? 17, 18, 19, 20, where you have underachievement offensively.
Agreed.
You have every right to do that as a general manager. You can do that. But when you have a guy like John Lester who could solidify that starting rotation with Hendricks, the two others that they were able to pick up, you know, what's the harm?
You tell me it's not worth that kind of money for him to sit down with Braylon Marquez, Adbert Alzolay, Zach Davies, for him to be there and be a fountain of knowledge, a resource. Here's how you handle this situation. Here's how you approach this hitter. That's what he does.
And by the way, Danny, strangely enough, if you keep Lester, if you don't have Lester, the team could still win the division. Now, I know there's no value into that because you've seen enough division championships. You just can't make any, you know, you really can't pay dividends deep into a playoff run.
Let me ask you a question. Danny, what happens if it's July 26th and in that garbage division known as the NL Central where no one's trying to win, the Cubs look and they go, wow, we're four games in front.
That may happen anyway.
Right. Oh, God.
Cubs.
And someone calls and says, hey, Chris Bryant's having a really good year. I'll give you two good prospects. Are they going to wave the white flag?
Yes, I think they will. I think we've seen which direction the Cubs are going. I'm listening to you guys talk about John Lester. I can't disagree with you guys more on this. As a Cub fan, John Lester will always, always have a place in my heart for what he came here, what he represented. Cap, you've said it 1,000 times. John Lester was the sign saying we're open for business.
Correct.
The Cubs didn't do him wrong. He made $155 million with the Cubs. He came here and won a World Series with the Cubs. Mm-hmm. The Cubs are now in a position where they want to go in a different direction. And perhaps it's best for them to do that without
John
Lester.
Why not tell him that then?
Listen, I don't know. Only you know what they say behind the closed doors to him. All I know is he wanted to be here. They didn't want him here. It's business, right?
What's the harm, Danny? That's what I'm saying. My angle is what's the harm?
Maybe there is no harm. Maybe they're just trying to do him better. Hey, go somewhere else where you have a chance to win because we're going to change everything from the foundation to the roof. And we don't need you here. Cap's talking about, wouldn't it be great to have John Lester in the room to lead the young guys? Maybe that's exactly what they don't want. Maybe they want to find a young guy to have a voice to lead the team as they go forward instead of a guy that's only going to be there one more year that wants things to be done the way it was in 2016. This clearly isn't the 2016 team. This clearly isn't going that direction. So maybe they want to find a new voice to lead this team, a young voice. They don't want to have the hiccups of the 2016 roster. We see they're getting rid of as many of those players as possible. It just seems to me you're making this far more personal than it needs to be. The Cubs, as a Cub fan, I wish he was still here and I love everything he represented, but they don't owe him anything more than the $155 million that they paid him and the $10 million buyout, which is doing him a solid because he got $5 million from the Washington Nationals. He got $10 million from the Cubs. Basically, he's making
$15 million. How'd they do him a solid? That was a deal agreed to 6 years ago.
Okay, but it's still, here's $10 million. Here, so he's making $15 million this year.
Great. And Mike Thomas, make sure you get paid every other Friday because that's what you get paid. They're not doing you a solid.
All right, forget the doing them a solid. But I don't feel it's as personal as you're making it out to be.
Disagree.
You've got a chip on your shoulder towards the Cubs, and you should. All Cub fans should because of the way that the business is being treated, the way Cub fans are being treated by this ownership group. I get it, and I'm with you. I just don't think they did John Lester wrong here. I just don't. Go to another team.
Well, I would say this too, Danny. If you sign John Lester, just like Cap gave the scenario of Chris Bryant or anybody else, if you are in the mix and playing well through July and we're getting close to the deadline, you need prospects like a hungry man needs a sandwich.
Yeah.
Badly.
Badly.
I mean frontline guys.
Yeah.
That's how you are able to do that, right? You say, okay, so, yeah, we're contending, but we've got all these assets, and we're going to turn this team over anyway. You want Bryant or do you want Lester? That's how you do that. Because now you start trading off your chips. Now you don't have any bargaining chips.
Yeah, I couldn't agree.
Right?
Agreed. Well said. But I couldn't disagree more vehemently with Danny. What they did in October, say to him, John, don't even waste your breath. We're going in a different direction. We're going with young guys.
How do you know they didn't?
I know that for a fact.
You know for a fact. They never said, Johnny, hey, listen, we appreciate everything, but we're going another direction. Here's another thing that I think we're forgetting. John Lester wasn't good the last 2 years. He just wasn't. Like, John Lester, it wasn't wouldn't even be the second best pitcher on this staff. I hate to say it, the John Lester that we saw in 2020, that short and abbreviated pandemic season, was a bad baseball player.
Funny that all the teams that were contending all called, all wanted him.
Yeah, because of what he brings to the clubhouse. It's a different dynamic here. This is a rebuilding team.
They were disrespectful. We can't make an offer, but hang on. Let me move money, and we'll get back to you.
They're broke. Biblical proportions.
Oh, that's a lie.
They're broke.
That's a lie.
Our favorite baseball team owns the entire Wrigleyville neighborhood. They're broke.
What did Passett say? What did Passett say about that nonsense? Broke.
Yeah, garbage.
Listen, and I hate
but there's wheelbarrows of cash.
I hate the fact right now it sounds like I'm arguing the Ricketts' side because I want to be the last person to do that. But the fact of the matter is I don't believe they did John Lester wrong. It's business. He made $155 million
Danny,
and won a World Series.
They were incredibly disrespectful to him. Incredibly. Be honest. October, hey, John, we love you. It's not going to happen. We're going in a different direction. And he would have said, thank you. Moving on. No, hang on. Don't sign anything. Let me move money. We'll get back to you. And then he calls the owner and said, okay, I've been waiting. I've been waiting. I've been waiting. I've been waiting. Defer money. You want to defer money? I don't care. I just want to retire a Cub to go F you. And then, whoa, what do you mean you got an offer from the Nationals? Hang on. I'll call you back. All right, we'll pay you this. You know what that is? That is horse crap. That is bull blank.
All right.
So couldn't disagree with Danny more. That's not how you treat a legendary player who says, give me 1 year. You want to defer the money? I don't care. I just want to retire a Cub. Now go F yourself.
Now this is, and Jeff, this is not like sports radio 1993. Hey, how do you get rid of those 85 Bears? Jay Hilgenberg meant, it's not that.
No.
It's that, that's not what we're talking about here.
It's just nice to hear Danny's finally awake.
Jim, it is.
How do you get rid of a guy like Jimbo Covert? It's 1990. Stop. It's 94.
It's crazy.
All right. That's a different story.
We will get to your calls, and we'll talk about the Tiger documentary. Coming up next.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap Jay Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
He's Hoodie, I'm Cap. Weekday morning, 7 to 10. But go on the ESPN Chicago app and download our daily podcast. And the ESPN Chicago app available for iPhone and Android. Instant on. You download the app, you click on it, boom, there's the station playing. And then all of our shows and all of our podcasts right there. Just click it. Yeah. Boom, there you go.
All the content is there. And the next thing you hear after hour three of this show is the Under the Hood Basketball Podcast. We talk about everything that happened over the weekend in the NBA and college basketball. That's the next thing that you'll hear. So download the app, Cap and J Hood, boom, right there.
Right there.
All the information that you need is right there.
There you go. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Patrick in St. Charles. Hey, Patrick, what's up, Sparkles?
What's going on, guys? Good morning. How are you?
We're good, Pat. Thank you.
I'm calling. I got two questions for you. I'm a diehard John Lester fan. I'm a Red Sox fan. I idolized him. I've met him. Awesome guy. In your opinion, question number one, is John Lester a Hall of Famer?
It's going to be very, very close. If he gets to 200 wins, for a lot of people, that is a huge benchmark. If you go back through, there's a few analysts that have made the case that he already is a Hall of Famer. It'll be close.
Well, in the modern time, Patrick, today, 200 is the benchmark because we have to lower our expectations. We will not see another 300-game winner in our lifetime.
Probably not.
This is why you get the Lesters and the Mark Burleys and names like that that are possible Hall of Fame candidates because we're just not going to get the quality starts, the 275, 300-game winner anymore.
Correct.
So it's a possibility. You never know.
Okay. If he is elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame, what hat will he wear?
Boston Red Sox, 100%.
Why?
Why not? He won two World Series there. Why would he wear a Cubs hat?
From my understanding, as a Boston Red Sox fan, John Lester never got a true goodbye in Boston, and that's still a sour taste in his mouth.
It's not his choice. It's baseball's choice.
I completely understand it.
Yeah.
I'll shut up and listen after this, but I'm just saying, why I don't think he'd wear a Boston Red Sox. I don't know if he'd specifically pick a team, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, as again, we appreciate the phone call.
Thanks, Patrick.
It's baseball's call.
Correct.
After Wade Boggs went in as a Ray.
Mm-hmm.
So that,
correct.
That was the end of that.
All Andre, the glory years Andre, of Wade Boggs in a Rays uniform.
And Andre Dawson as an Expo.
Well, no, but Dawson.
Well, that worked.
But Dawson, it wasn't his choice, was
he
it?
He wanted to go in as a Cub, and they wouldn't let him.
Yeah, because Wade Boggs ruined it for everybody.
Right.
Because he took the bonus from the Rays. Part of his contract when they signed him was, hey, we're going to sign you to this big money deal. We just want you to go in the Hall of Famer as a Ray as opposed to a Red Sox. John Lester pitched 9 years for the Red Sox at 110 wins, 6 years for the Cubs, 77 wins. I think the Hall of Fame, if he made it, which a big if he made it, he would probably go in as a Red Sox.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And when I think of, well, when I think of Dawson, I think of him as an Expo. That's what he was first. He's in that great outfield with Tim Raines and Warren Cromartie.
And Alice Valentine.
And Alice Valentine.
Yep.
And Alice Valentine. So that's what I think of first. All-black outfield in the late 70s, early 80s for the Expos.
Yep.
Like, that was groundbreaking. In that market, that was groundbreaking. So that's – sure, he should be an Expo. But as you mentioned, I agree with you that more than likely the two championships, Red Sox, yeah, I think he goes in as a Red Sox.
Yeah, I think it's 100% he goes in as a Red Sox. And I can tell you, he's – he loved his time in Chicago. He wanted to be here. He said, I'll make any contract, deferment, deferral, whatever you want. Let's make it work. And they had indicated him, yeah, that this is easy. We'll get this short putt done.
Right. Red Sox or Nationals.
No, can't make an offer. Oh, wait. The Nationals made an offer? I call him up because if someone asked at the press conference, did the Cubs make an offer, he can't say no.
Mm-hmm.
Way too late in the process. It was over.
All right, back to the phone as we go.
Let's go to Jackson out on the tri-state. Hey, Jackson.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Jackson.
No, hey, I have to agree with Danny here. And I love John Lester and everything like that, but what Jesse said earlier is this is going to be a huge rebuild. We can't even get rid of Chris Bryant, and it seems like they want to just get rid of everybody, and you can't rip it down to the studs even in this year like you want to. So as much as I love John Lester, you got to stop thinking about it, you know, emotionally and think about it as a business.
Has nothing to do with emotion. You asked him to build your culture. You need to continue said culture. He has told you, I want to be here and nowhere else. Make it work. You want to defer some of the money? I don't care. And they've indicated to him, no question, we want you to be here. They didn't come to him in October and go, hey, man, this is a teardown. You need to go look somewhere else. He reached out and called the owner by himself, not his agent, him, twice, and was told, talk to Jed. I empowered him. It's all his call. No offer, no offer, no offer, no offer. Whoa! You got an offer? We got to react. Make an offer. Make an offer.
Yeah, and Jackson, from my
poorly handled.
Jackson, from my standpoint,
thanks,
I just think that it's a good trade chip. If you do sign him for that deal, a sweetheart deal, a hometown discount, pretty much, right,
mm-hmm.
for John Lester,
mm-hmm.
then if you want to trade him by the deadline, you can. Because someone will say, okay, I can't give you my A, but I can give you my high B-level prospect.
And I don't think they would have done that anyway. He would have just retired as a Cub. It would have been his swan song. It would have been cool. And you would have had this amazing influence on your young pitchers.
Well, hey, John, can I increase your chances of winning a championship? We're not winning one here. Was John going to say no?
I think he would have. I think he would have said, I'm finishing as a Cub. And they would have given him that assurance.
I would have asked.
Right.
If we sign you and we're not in contention, would you want to go someplace else? At least I would ask. But it comes down to communication or lack thereof.
And there was no communication.
Well, there
here.
You go.
It was poorly, poorly handled. 312-332-3776. We break down the Tiger documentary, part two, next.
Itching your morning sports fix. Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
So, part two of the Tiger HBO documentary aired on Sunday. And I said to my wife, you got to watch this with me. She's not a big TV person. And she's like, yeah, whatever. And then it came on, and she was sitting on the couch looking at her, reading on her Kindle app on her phone, and she heard something. She looked up, put the phone down, and we watched the entire thing.
Yep.
Part one was about how he became such a great golfer and his girlfriend that was the love of his life when he was in high school. They'd been together for 3 years, and he was off to college, and she was going to stay and go to college where he was so they could be together and all of that. And the parents didn't like her influence on Tiger, so they made him sign a letter that they wrote. Now, they've been in love. They've been together for 3 years, and the letter is, you know, you distract me, you're this, you're that. I don't ever want to hear from you again. Sincerely, Tiger. Obviously, he didn't write it.
Nope.
And so they interviewed her. I don't think she's spoken to him. And so how heartbroken she was, that was who she was in love with. And there's great video of him dancing and at a Halloween party in a costume and all that, and how happy he seemed. Then they go on in part two to get in the more sordid portion of his life. And they tell the story that as a young kid, Earl would pull a Winnebago up by the driving range. Tiger would be hitting ball after ball after ball after for hours. And Earl would disappear, go in the Winnebago, and have sex with blonde-haired women that he would find in the area.
If the Winnebago's rocking, don't come knocking.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what was the case, as Earl, Mr. Woods, decided to take some time away from his son to take care of business.
Literally, and, Mr. Woods.
Exactly. Literally. And then they get into the Rachel Uchitel and Mindy Lawton at the Perkins.
Yeah, Uchitel that she was really into Tiger.
Yes.
And vice versa.
And she's getting followed in to, on her trip to Australia for the Australian Open and doesn't know.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Tiger. I need you to do me a huge favor. Can you please take your name off your phone, my wife went through my phone, and maybe calling you. If she can, please take your name off that, and just have it as a number on the voicemail. Just have it as your telephone number. Okay, you gotta do this for me. Huge, quickly. Bye. Bye.
You see,
wow.
Here's what we already knew, but once again, the documentary tells the story of being able to compartmentalize. Like, I'm a golfer today. I'm doing this press conference today. I'm a father today. I'm stooping whoever comes to mind today. He's able to be able to move these things around. Where and there's something weird about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it didn't bother him. Like, whatever is going on in his personal life, it didn't bother him on the golf course. So he was focused on winning green jackets and majors and everything else.
And Stevie Williams, who was his caddy back then, and then they parted. Stevie said that guy can compartmentalize different parts of his life better than anyone I've ever seen. It's incredible.
That's a special one percenter right
there. One-tenth of 1%, yeah. 1/100 of 1%. And, my God, they're interviewing the Perkins waitress, and they're interviewing Rachel Uchitel, and holy smokes, porn stars and strippers and Perkins waitresses and VIP hosts. And they tell the story where it was him, Michael, and Charles Barkley. And
which one of these things is not like the other?
Yeah. And Tiger says to Michael, there's all these gorgeous women around. And they don't have to go up to the women. The casinos will go, or clubs will go up to attractive young women and go, Tiger would like to party with you. Come on over. He doesn't even have to go out and say anything. And everyone, oh my God, I can party with Tiger. Done. And he says to Michael, I don't know what to say to them. And he said,
you're Tiger Woods.
Just tell them you're Tiger Woods. That's
right.
That's all you got to do.
You're Tiger Woods. That's pretty much it, right?
Hi, I'm Tiger Woods. Let's go upstairs.
That's pretty much.
Right.
I mean, So, Cap, it's all on Tiger Woods. Everything, the great things he did in his career, in his personal life, the downside. But you know what? I'm glad that HBO told the entire story.
They did.
It starts from the beginning, where Earl Woods, all he was concerned with was trying to get his son to be a superstar golfer.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many examples in our lives of these helicopter parents that do above and beyond to try to push their child to be the best,
mm-hmm.
to be the greatest. That's what Mr. Woods was doing with Tiger, to the point where Tiger had no worldly experience outside of golf and having A's in school and then go back to the golf course.
That's all it was.
So just the idea for him to have a girlfriend for 3 years, and you see the Woods, his mom and dad didn't like that because that's an outside influence. They were focused on those millions.
Mm-hmm.
They're focused on the fame of this son. Hey, you can't have a girlfriend. And so how would he know what to do?
Correct.
That's why it was so weird. He goes, I need to get this out of me. I got to go to Perkins.
Right.
How odd is that?
Like what he despised about his dad, he became.
Yes.
Times 1,000.
Including being a Navy SEAL. Like, I can't go back to Nam if I'm Tiger Woods, but I could be able to simulate.
Because his dad was in the military.
Yeah, because his dad had 2 tours of Nam.
Right.
And so all of that was like, yeah, you know what? I may not like my dad, but you know what? He's my best friend. I want to be able to live vicariously through what he did to get his experiences. Because he had no other experience besides golf. That's all he had. It's kind of sad in some ways that's all he knew was golf. But then he realized, hey, my dad was a womanizer. What's so fun about that? Let me check this out.
Right.
I'm sitting at a bar, a high-level bar in New York, by myself, and you're Tiger Woods. You could tell comes over and says, hey, what's up? Are you okay? And he's like, wait, she's hot.
Yeah.
You could tell she's hot.
Give me your number.
And then that happened. Like, that's...
And she said he had not left the club. He was literally at the bar by himself.
Yeah.
And she said, I gave him my number, said, if you ever need anything, because she was the hostess, you know, that took care of all the VIPs.
Yeah.
She said he had not left the club for 45 seconds to go home, and her phone was blowing up. It's Tiger. Let's get together. Let's hook up.
How about that?
Boom.
How about that?
And this woman's had a hell of a life. Her, horrible. Her fiance's killed in 9/11.
Yeah.
I think she had a health crisis in her life. She gets dragged through with all the Tiger stuff. I mean, like, the doc is well worth watching.
It's he said, she said on a lot of this stuff, but it came across as the women trying to say, man, Tiger touched me to a point where I love him.
Correct.
Like, it wasn't just, hey, we're going to have sex, and then that's the end of that. Apparently, Tiger kept a connection with a lot of these women.
Yeah.
Apparent from their standpoint. Who knows what's true? But they're just like, yeah, I'm heartbroken because I thought he...
Mindy
Lawton. I thought I was the one.
Yeah, the Perkins girl, she said the only thing he ever bought me was he once bought her a Subway sub. She asked him for money, said, I'm in a tough spot here. I need some help. Nope, can't help you. Guy's a billionaire. Well, but make sure we go behind my Escalade before my plane takes off. Crazy.
I mean, it's something, man. Now, along with that, great golf, of course. All the stuff was happening, but yet there he was in the golf course getting it done.
Unbelievable. And even then, with a torn ACL.
And then the redemption story.
Correct. And he's back.
That was quickly, wasn't it?
Quickly. Crosstalk in 2 minutes.